results coach, exercise professional. You might still call yourself a personal trainer. You might be a boot camp instructor, a boxing instructor. You love to excite and inspire people to exercise. And how good does it feel if you are involved in helping people to be healthy, fit, and strong when somebody says to you, please help me? Please, can you help me lose weight? Can you help me get into great shape? Can you help me to be healthy again? I need more energy. I need more vitality for life. I want to be able to keep up with my kids. I want to compete in a sport. I've got a goal for my body. Could you please help me? And if, like me, as an exercise professional, and I've been doing this all of my life, which is a very long time because I'm an old lady now, it's for me the most rewarding question to be asked. But there's a big challenge for all of us as exercise professionals and as human beings that we were taught from as soon as we could talk that if somebody asks us a question, that we need to give them an answer. If somebody asks for our advice, our opinion, our suggestions, our ideas, that's considered the ultimate compliment. So if somebody says to you, please, can you help me lose weight? Get into great shape, compete in my sport, then we've got two things going on. Number one is we feel really complimented. We feel very special because somebody wants our opinion, and that's the ultimate compliment that that other person can give us. And then we've been taught to answer the question. So if somebody says, can you please help me lose weight? Of course we want to say, if we can, we want to say, yes, of course I can, and here's how. And if, like me, you've been doing this for either a very long time or you are just excited about health and fitness and exercise and eating healthy food and having a stack of energy and being a healthy, fit, strong human being, somebody might have said to you, you look fantastic, or you're in great shape, or you've got a stack of energy, or I want to look like you. What do you do, or can you please help me? And if you've ever been in that position, I'm sure that you've wanted to automatically help. Yes, of course I can help you, and here's what you should do. And the biggest mistake I've ever made in my professional career is to do that, answer that question immediately. And I'm sharing that with you very personally because if you really want to help people, and this is from my heart to yours, if this is really what you want to do, if your goal is to help people to be healthy, to be fit, to be strong, to achieve their goals for their human body, then if we answer their question immediately, there's a whole heap of challenges with that. And you can get yourself into some pretty big trouble. And I would like you to avoid that trouble if possible. I'd love you to learn from my mistakes. And if you really want to help people, here's the all-important question. Should we ask more questions about that person before we deliver information? And I'll just logically go through the process of the mistakes that you can make so that you don't make the same ones that I did, and how you can make sure that you get all the information that you need so that you can really help somebody to lose weight, get into shape, be healthy, achieve their health and fitness goals. And there's two parts to that, of course, because people often ask us about food and they'll ask us about exercise. Now, the first one is really tricky. Because unlike exercise, which most people don't do, about 9 out of 10 people in the world right now either don't want to exercise, or even if they are exercising, they don't like it, that it's not something that you have to do to survive. Food, on the other hand, is something that everybody does most days. In fact, most people, several times throughout the day, which means everybody has the right to have an opinion about food. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Because if somebody says to you, what do you think about this diet? Or what do you think about this eating plan? Or should I be a vegan vegetarian? Or should I be a carnivore? Or should I go on the intermittent fasting diet? Or should I go on the ketosis ketone diet? There's a whole heap of questions that people will ask you. And remember that as an exercise professional, that's really a compliment because people are obviously trusting us with their body. They're giving us a compliment because they believe we can help them. And because we're humans, we want to answer the question. Exercise, interesting, because everyone's got an opinion about exercise. Either they like it or they hate it, or they've got an opinion about what's good and what's bad. But food is arguably one of the most controversial topics on the planet, up there with politics and religion. Probably things that we shouldn't talk about. Even if somebody asks us, could you please help me with my eating plan, or could you please help me with my exercise? Should we, as exercise professionals, but as superb communicators, know what those superb communication skills are so that we can actually help people with what they actually want to do. So how do we do it is the question. So the number one thing to keep in mind, and something that I have had to learn the hard way, and I had to learn it from the experts, and now I'm still practicing it every single day, even though I've been practicing probably for 30 years now. If somebody asks you a question, is it possible that they aren't really requiring an answer? And if that sounds a little bit bizarre, please consider this. Practice when somebody says to you, could you please tell me what to eat? Could you please tell me how to exercise? Could you please, have you been to Europe? Do you want to go on holidays? What did you do last week? What's your favorite movie? Any of the questions that people ask you, just for fun, instead of answering the question, respond with this. Why did you ask me the question? So that's the first overall communication tool that could be very, very helpful. When everybody or anybody asks you a question, instead of answering the question immediately, respond with, why did you ask me that question? And when I started to do that for the first time, because I always assumed, and remember that when you assume, you just make an ass of you and me, so an ass of the other person and an ass of yourself. I always assumed I knew why the person asked me the question. So if somebody says, could you please help me lose weight, or can you help me lose weight, I always assumed that that's what they actually wanted to do, lose weight. Until I started asking, why did you ask me that question? Now, I don't want to put a number on it, but most of the time, when I've asked that question, people don't respond with what I thought they would. And most of the time, it wasn't a question. It was permission to speak. So if somebody wants to talk to you about what they had for breakfast or where they're going to go on holidays or what their favorite movie is, they're not going to come up to you. Well, it's unlikely they come up to you and say, guess what? Here's my favorite movie. Or guess what? This is what I had for breakfast. Or this is my opinion on food. Or this is my opinion on exercise. They will probably pose that statement as a question, which goes a bit like this. What do you think of being a vegan vegetarian, for example? Now, whatever your opinion is, here's the safety net. Why did you ask me that question? And you may be very surprised that you now are committed to a conversation where the other person's doing the talking, even though they asked you the question, because they want to tell you why they are a vegan vegetarian or why they believe it's important to be a vegan vegetarian, and they just want to talk to you. But they framed that conversation with a question, hoping to get you involved. Now, there's no right or wrong there. What is wrong or what becomes very complicated is if you start talking about your opinion with somebody that already has a very strong opinion, is it possible that that could get into an argument? So if you really want to help people, could it be a really good idea to find out if they actually have a question? And if they are wanting to talk, now comes a whole different series of really great ideas on how to handle that situation. Again, is it possible that if you handle it wrong, you could get into an argument, you could get into a debate, you could waste a lot of time with somebody who has a very strong opinion? And there's that great quote, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So even if you think that you can change their mind because you don't think it's right to be a vegan vegetarian or to be a carnivore or to be on an intermittent fasting diet or to be on a ketone diet or you should be on a ketone diet, whatever your opinion is, would it be a good idea to find out what their opinion is, how strong their opinion or conviction is, and whether or not this is going to be a good investment of your time, this conversation, because the person's actually got a question, or they're not really asking you a question, they just want to give you information, and you could be standing there for a really long time having to listen. Or you might just get annoyed and walk away, which doesn't do much for the relationship. So the first tool in the toolbox is every time somebody asks you a question, perhaps get into the habit of, or could it be a good protection for your time and for your energy to say, why did you ask me the question? And then if the person's got a big long opinion about why they believe a certain thing or why they're going to do a certain thing or what their conviction is about that certain thing, here's the next strategy. And I always like to make things really easy to remember. And if they're easy to remember, you're more likely to do them. And if you do them, you're less likely to get in trouble. How does that sound? So number one is, why did you ask me the question? If the person didn't really have a question, they just want to deliver information. And you're getting into a headspace pretty quickly that you either have the opposite opposing view to this person, or this person's going to be delivering information to you that you either don't want to hear, or it doesn't, you don't agree with it. So what do you do now? So this WIFA, easy to remember, WIFA, I'll say it again, WIFA, WIFA. And I'm sharing that with you because this is a strategy for finding out exactly where this conversation is going to go. So it's four simple questions. So the first question, of course, was, why did you ask me the question? If the person starts delivering information, the next thing is WIFA, four questions. Number one, why do you believe that? So if somebody starts talking to you about whatever topic it is, whether it's religion or politics or eating plans or exercise plans or parenting or financial planning, it doesn't matter, whatever the conversation is, why is that important to you? WIFA, W, the W for WIFA is why is that important to you? So if somebody's talking to you and they're delivering information and you're not agreeing with it, instead of disagreeing, instead of getting into an argument, why not just simply ask the question, why do you believe that or why is that important to you? And notice what happened to my tone of voice now. And it's a lean forward, maintain eye contact, open body language, and actively listen. So you can't say it like this, oh, why do you believe that? Why is that important to you? It has to be a respectful question. Why do you believe that or why is that important to you? And either of those would work. Could you then find out, or would it be more likely that you'll find out, whether or not this is something that this person has just a general opinion about, or they're actually convicted about it? And I'll ask the question again. A person convinced against their will, could they be of the same opinion still? So you could have a really good argument and you could have all the facts and the science and the research and the experience and you could preach at this person, but if they have a conviction for this particular topic, why would you want to change their mind? That's probably a really good question. So ask the question, why you're sharing some great information with me, why is that important to you, or why do you believe that? So that's the W in WIFA. The next question begins with I, is why is that important to you? So why do you believe that? Is this important to you? So why not find out, again, whether it's just a general opinion that they've got from somebody else, and often people do that, don't they? They regurgitate somebody else's opinion versus it's something that they're passionate about, something that they've studied, and they really want to get their point across because it's really important to them. So why do you believe that? And why is that important to you, or is that important to you? And you might be able to tell, that's the tweak of that question. You might be able to tell by the first bit that this really is important to them. So why is that so important to you? Or the question, is that important to you? So why do you believe that? Is that important to you? The next one is really interesting because often when we have an opinion, a conviction, something we've been brought up with, something that's important to us, it's important because we're emotionally attached to it. It's not, and I'll ask the question again, is it possible that it's not based on logical science? It could be based on emotion. So what a great question to ask, which is the F in WIFA. How do you feel about that? Really, notice I stopped, pause, leaned forward, maintain eye contact, open body language, and actively listen. How do you feel about that? And I can't give you the answer. The questions are always the same, but the answers are always going to be different because it could range everything from, oh, it's not important to me at all, I just thought I'd have an argument for the sake of an argument, through to, this is life and death for me. This is so important to me that I feel that this is life and death. I feel that this is my driving force in life. I feel that this is the purpose I'm on the planet. Now you've got a really good idea of what's coming or why the information that's coming out of this person's actually coming. So number one question, why did you ask me the question? Then WIFA, is this important to you, or why do you believe this? I, is this important to you? F is, what is your feeling about this? How do you feel about it? Now, if you're getting into an argument now, or you are totally disagreeing with this person, or you feel that it's heading in the wrong direction and your relationship might not survive this conversation, and I'm using this right now because, yes, we argue about religion and we argue about politics and we argue about food and we argue about exercise and parenting and finances and all sorts of things. But there's some really important things happening in the world right now that people are not just arguing with each other about, but families are breaking up about them, relationships are breaking up, good friends are no longer good friends. And I think that's a little bit sad. When you have a right to your opinion, I have a right to my opinion. And I always, something that I've learned from the Americans, because I've travelled to America for most of my life since I was 18, and as I shared now, I'm an old lady. I've gone to America multiple times every year since I was 18 years of age. And something that I've been taught, learned from, am inspired by when I talk to Americans, is this very simple statement, which is, I don't agree with your opinion, but I will fight to the death for your right to have that opinion. And I really like that because it's, for me, it's respectful. I don't have any right to tell you that you're wrong. I don't have any right to tell you that your opinion is wrong. But I do believe that as humans, we all have the right to have an opinion. So the next part of WEFA, the A part, is what could we agree on? So we've obviously this, if in your, you don't have to tell people that you disagree with them either, and that would be a really good idea. If you don't want to have an argument with somebody, just open up your body language, ask them the WEFA, which is why is that important to you, or why do you believe that? Why is that important to you? What's your emotional feelings about this, or do you have emotional feelings about this? And if you are on the same page, then of course you can agree, because that's we can agree on this. But if you don't want to have an argument and you what the person sharing with you is completely different to what you agree or what you think, then how about we find some things that we can agree on? And that's one of the things as an exercise professional that's been a really important part of my growth and my personal and professional development, particularly when I've been asked to speak at medical conferences. And I'll give you an example I always use. I was asked to speak at a very big medical conference in Australia. For diabetes, so the disease of somebody who's obese and somebody who then gets type 2 diabetes. And the experts in that room, and there were a lot of experts, endocrinologists, cardiologists, psychologists, exercise physiologists, GPs, there was a big range of medical people in that room, and they were all arguing. And I was asked to speak at that conference because the professional conference organizer wanted somebody to chat about things that these people wouldn't argue about. So my brief for the conference was, please come and talk to these medical professionals or share information with these medical professionals about being healthy, fit and strong, things that they won't argue about. And I'll ask you very personally, is it possible that we have a Western world, in fact our whole world now, that's become fatter and sicker and weaker and more diseased and more depressed and more anxious, and our quality of life is just not, it's not beautiful anymore. Is it possible that's because we don't agree? If you're a general public and one doctor tells you one thing and one doctor tells you the opposing view, who do you believe? If one cardiologist recommends that you are a vegan vegetarian, another cardiologist recommends that you're a carnivore, what do you do? These are both educated people giving you completely opposing views. Is it possible that that's one of the reasons why we have so many diseases in the world? Because we can't agree on anything. So my question for us as exercise professionals, if you really want to get results for people, which is why I call myself a results coach, is it possible that we need to start looking for what we can agree on, not what we disagree about? And obviously, if we disagree, we're going to end up in an argument or a breakup of relationship, or we just don't associate with that person anymore. And if this is a person that you would like to be your client or be a member at your gym or somebody that comes to your boot camp or gets involved with you from a business perspective, is it possible that if you have an argument with them, then there's no relationship and they'll never become your client? So whatever question somebody asks you, that's a simple process to follow. And if you apply it and just practice for a week and see what happens. So every time somebody asks you a question, instead of answering the question, whether it's your kids or your partner or your next door neighbor or somebody at work, instead of answering their question, just simply in a most general, casual way, just say, hey, great question. How come you asked me that question? And you may be surprised as to what you thought was going to be the reason they asked you the question. You might be surprised that it wasn't really a question at all, or the reason they asked you the question wasn't the reason that you perhaps thought they were asking. So that's just something to take note of. And then if you apply WEFA, so if you're in a position where the person talking to you is on a completely different page from you, or if you'd like to change their mind, And that's my next question as an exercise professional. If you really want to help somebody to be healthy, to be fit, to be strong, to achieve their health and fitness goals, do we need to get on the same page? And if we're going to be on the same page, do I need to know as an exercise professional where my client is coming from? What's important to them? So that's the WEFA again. Why do you believe this? Why is this important to you? How do you feel about that? And if you don't agree with what they're talking about or what their opinion or conviction is, then the question is there something that we can agree on? Now, you don't need to ask them that question, but you need to be clicking over really quickly in your headspace. Or would it be a good idea to click over in your headspace? We are so far apart on this. What are some of the things that we can bring together to agree on so that we can get this conversation happening? So if you really want to help people, my personal question is this. If you don't know enough about them, is it possible that you could offend them, you could hurt their feelings, you could make them angry, you could annoy them, you could frustrate them, and they'll never become your client or you'll never be able to help them? I always ask myself that question. If I don't build a relationship with this person, how can I possibly help them? And if I've got an argument happening or a disagreement, then how can I have a great relationship? And for all of our relationships, why would you want to argue? Why would you want to have disagreements? I'm all for debate and I'm all for brainstorming and I'm all for coming up with great ideas. But if you really want to get great ideas, could it be a really good idea to find out everybody that's in that conversation? Ask the questions, WEFA. Why do you believe that? Why is that important to you? How do you feel about that? And then what can we come together to agree on? Because otherwise, if we're disagreeing, then we're going to be in an argument rather than a brainstorm. So just some things to consider. Then if you really want to help people to lose weight, get into great shape, be healthy, fit and strong, do we need to find out more about them than just, I want to lose weight or I want to get into great shape? So there's that beautiful set of questions that you'll always hear from me, and I practice them every day with everybody I come in contact with. I'm sure that you do too. But I'm going to ask them again in this order so that it's something, just something to consider. If I want to help somebody, do I need to know what exactly they want to do? How can I help them if I don't know what their goals are? And if I can help them achieve their short-term goal, wouldn't I want to help them with their next goal and their next goal? So the question is, what do you want to achieve now? What's important to you? Then what do you want to achieve next, which is really exciting? And then what do you want to achieve long-term? So the what question has three parts to it. What do you want now, immediately, specifically? After we've done that for you, because we can achieve that, what will we do next? And then what do you want to do long-term? How can you help somebody if you don't know what they want? Then the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the brain neuroscientists and the behavioral scientists will all share with us that if we really want to help people, we have to know not just what they want to do, but why they want to do it. Because the why is the driving force. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do next? What do you want to do in the future? And then why is that important to you? And obviously, the more whys you can get, the more likely the person is going to want to continue on with this relationship, continue on with this process, continue on with this action towards achieving their goal, because they've got reasons to do it. And that's what why is. Why do you want to do it? The next connection is the visual, because our brain thinks in pictures. So if your client can't see what they want to achieve and you can't see what they want to achieve, you haven't visualized it in your own brain, then we can't make it happen. If your client can't see themselves achieving their goal, because the brain thinks in pictures, they won't be able to see it, so they won't be able to achieve it. So you have to get people to create the picture in their brain. Where will you be? Where on your body do you want to lose weight? When you stand on the scales to test your weight or to weigh yourself, which room will you be in? Which mirror will you be standing in front of? What will you be wearing? What's the day of the week? What's the weather going to be like? So as many pictures as you can possibly create so that people can see themselves in the picture. If it's an event, if it's a sporting event or an athletic event or a competition, exactly where on the stage will you be, or where's the grand final going to be, or what stadium is it going to be at, or where will you be running, or which mountain will you be climbing? Describe it for me. What will you be wearing? What will the day be like? Who will be there with you? So that you're getting involved with your client, but the most important thing is that they can see the picture, so that if they can see it, they can achieve it, because the brain thinks in pictures. So what do you want now, next, and in the future? Why do you want it? And as many whys as possible, but at least three. Then where exactly do you want that to happen? And try and get at least three really strong pictures of visualizations that you can see and that your client can see. Then three, specific day, date, and time. So what's the exact day, what's the exact date, and what's the exact time that you'd like to achieve that? They're all things that create a picture, an overall visualization, and an exact time frame. And of course, if we've got an exact time frame, is it more likely that we're going to achieve the goal versus eventually, hopefully, maybe, I suppose, sometime in the future I'll achieve my goal versus an exact day, date, and time. So what do you want? Why do you want it? Where do you want it? When specifically do you want it? And then comes the emotion, which is how will you feel if you achieve it? Describe that for me. How will your body feel? How will your brain feel? How will that affect the rest of your life? How will you feel when that happens for you? So it's you have to connect the goal with the emotion. Otherwise, there's no reason to do it. We are driven by emotion. Even if we're a logical person, the emotion of achieving the goal is really strong. Versus how will you feel if you don't achieve the goal, which is the negative emotion. And again, the brain scientists and the experts who suggest if you want to achieve a goal, you really need to find out whether the driving force is positive or negative. Some people are focusing on, I want to look good in my bikini, and other people haven't looked good in a bikini forever. All I want is to not go up another clothes size. So we need to find that out as professionals. Is your driving force the positive emotion or is it the negative emotion? So how will you feel if you achieve your goal? How will you feel if you don't achieve it? So the day, date, and time arrives and you haven't achieved your goal. How will that feel? And get your client to describe that for you. So what do you want? Why do you want it? Where do you want it? When do you want it? How will you feel when you achieve the goal? How will you feel if you don't achieve the goal? Then are you on or off track to achieving the goal? Because obviously that's two different headspaces. Somebody that's on track and driven, the reason they're sitting in front of you is, I'm going to achieve this goal by this day, date, and time, is a different motivation than, I'm going to need lots of help because I'm really off track. And you perhaps should know that as an exercise professional so that you can help people. Every time you exercise with them, every time you train with them, every time you have a conversation with them, you can focus on the things that are their driving force versus what isn't their driving force. So some people are driven by the passion and the excitement of winning, and other people are driven by the pain and the regret of losing. And should we find that out? Should we find out if they're driven to achieve it or how much help they're going to need? So then the beautiful, respectful question is, if you were giving yourself advice, and I always ask, if you were your own high-performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself? And this is another great way to find out, where does this person sit? Are they vegan, vegetarian, or a carnivore, or somewhere in between? Do they eat three times a day, or once every 2 days? What is their opinion? What is their convictions about food and exercise, so that you don't offend them, you don't hurt them, you don't make them angry, you don't frustrate them? So could it be a really important question to ask, which is, if you are your own high-performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself? And then, what do you want from me? The last beautiful question is, as your results coach, as your personal exercise coach, as your exercise professional, what do you need from me to make sure that we achieve your goal by this day, date, and time? And the specific goal, what do you and I need to do together to make sure that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 4th of February, you run across the finish line? What do we need to do together to make sure that that happens? And I've been very specific with all of those questions for a reason, because if somebody says to me, Rowie, can you please help me lose weight? Or Rowie, how do I lose weight? Rowie, can you get me into great shape? Rowie, can you help me put on muscle size? Rowie, can you help me get healthy again? They are the questions that I would ask first. I would never deliver information of any kind until I've got all of that. And I'll rephrase, how could I? Wouldn't it be disrespectful to start preaching at somebody or teaching somebody or telling somebody what to do if you don't know all of those things about them? And then the next part of that, of course, is I would still never preach, teach, or tell, as I'm sure you wouldn't either. I just want this person to figure it out for themselves. So I want to ask the right questions so that they can come up with the right answers so that they set themselves up for a lifetime of being healthy, fit, and strong and achieving their goals and being in great shape. So there's the system. It's a very simple process. If somebody asks you a question, why did you ask me that question? If it's heading in a direction that you don't agree with or it's going to be an argument, apply WEFA, which is, why is that important to you, or why do you believe that? Why is that important to you? How do you feel about that? And then what can we agree on? And if it's somebody who really wants your help, still before we deliver any kind of information, wouldn't it be really great to know what they want specifically now, next, and in the future, why they want it, where they want it, when they want it, how they'll feel if they get it, how will they feel if they don't get it? Are they on track or off track to getting it, achieving it? What do they think they need to do? So if they were their own high performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would they give themselves? You might need to apply WIFRA again there, because whatever's happening in there might be something that you need to, that you might not agree with, or they might be on the wrong track and you want to change their mind. So instead of telling them what to do, you might need to apply WIFRA there again. And then what do you want from me as your personal exercise coach, as your results coach? What do you need from me to make sure that you achieve your goals? I'm sharing all of this with you because I hope you can tell by my passion in my voice. Is if you are an exercise professional, a results coach, a personal results coach, because you want to help people, how can we help them if we don't build a relationship with them? How can we help them if we argue with them? How can we help them if we preach at them or teach them or tell them what to do and we don't know anything about them? So please be the exercise professional who's genuinely interested in the people that are in front of you. And instead of answering a question, perhaps start with, why did you ask me that question? Could that be a good question?